The New Earth. The Earth Changes. 18th edition, revised 2014. Copyright 2014 by Lawrence and Michael Sartorius with the exception of credited quotations. Introduction to the Coming Earth Changes Chapter 1, Ancient Prophecies Chapter 2, A History of Upheaval Chapter 3, Prophets of Our Time Chapter 4, Cleansing Planet Earth Chapter 5, The Higher Plan Chapter 6, Time for Choice Chapter 7, The Flying Saucers Chapter 8, Home on a Mothership Chapter 9, Planning a New World Chapter 10, Updates from the Galactic Federation and Higher Spiritual Sources. Introduction to the Coming Earth Changes. We are on the verge of a significant change of universal age, and it is now important at this time to become fully aware that we are in fact surrounded by millions of other worlds teeming with intelligent life. Most of them are vastly more advanced than our own world, living on higher planes, dimensions with a higher vibration rate than Earth's dense physical third dimension. A large group of these worlds have been closely watching over us since WW2, with millions of their motherships invisibly surrounding us, ready to assist us at any moment to fulfill our ascension up to a fourth dimensional new Earth. They also have had an important function in shielding us from any unwarranted intrusions or attacks by those forces of darkness that unfortunately still exist within our galaxy. However, they have never wished to directly interpose themselves on our world, as any interference without our express invitation would be wrong karmically. Most of us, as the explorer race, have volunteered to come to planet Earth expressly to partake in a planetary experiment in overcoming, resolving the duality inherent in our universe of good and evil, the eternal fight between the forces of light and darkness, the positive versus the negative. This difficult process has actually been assisted by our being shrouded from contact with all the other worlds under a higher level spiritual agreement made in volunteering to participate in the duality experiment as a veil of forgetfulness, so that we could pursue this experiment on behalf of the cosmic creator without distraction or undue outside interference. However, this veil also became a part of a post-Lucifer rebellion quarantine imposed upon our planet over 200,000 years ago, along with 37 other planets in our local system of Satania, a section of our Milky Way galaxy, local universe of Nabodon by the ruling Grand Universe Hierarchy. This veil has had the effect of cutting us off from direct contact with all the other surrounding worlds and of any knowledge of their inhabitants. On the other hand, this veil has given us a unique opportunity to concentrate, uninfluenced by outsiders, on our special planetary experiment in exploring the ultimate extremes of duality between the forces of good and evil. We have undertaken this difficult task in order to develop new solutions, not only for our own world, but also for the benefit of many other worlds. In addition, this veil of forgetfulness has at the same time prevented us at any time from opting out of our agreed Earth planet experiment and escaping to the peace of the higher spiritual planes. Our space brothers from more advanced worlds have had to limit our knowledge of their presence to only to those Earth humans who either had a direct connection with them in a previous life or who had over many lives developed an extrasensory psychic ability to communicate through channeling. Nonetheless, our extraterrestrial visitors have at times tried to communicate directly with either our governments or our media, especially so in a wish to warn them of the extreme dangers of our development and use of atomic weapons, and particularly the hydrogen bomb. They did also have come to warn us of the coming Earth changes associated with the ending of one major age period and the approach of a new age. However, governments fearing the loss of their control over us have conducted a major cover-up of UFOs and extraterrestrial visitors since World War II, and at the same time intimidated the world's media into ignoring any reports of their appearances in our skies. In the meantime, the governments have quietly created their own secret files of all the numerous UFO sightings supplied by their military forces and filed them away in top-secret archives, even though having at the same time secretly interacting with some of these extraterrestrial visitors. As an example of the U.S. government's cover-up of UFOs and the existence of extraterrestrials over the years, only recently the true secrets of the well-known Roswell flying saucer crash in 1947 have been revealed, this being done by a non-governmental source. When a flying saucer was reported on the 8th of July 1947 to have crashed near Roswell, New Mexico, a U.S. Air Force retrieval team was immediately sent to the site of the crash. Among them was an Air Force Senior Master Sergeant Nurse, Matilda McElroy, who was given the task of attending to the sole survivor E.T. in the crashed craft out of the two other crew members. She turned out to be the only person on their return to the military base who was able to communicate with the E.T. survivor through telepathy, which nobody else was able to do. She was given the task of communicating with a small E.T. female being, whom she was to name as Elle, who had refused to answer any questions other than through her. After being helped by Nurse McElroy to learn English through the use of many books borrowed from the base's library on all sorts of Earth subjects over a 16-day period, Elle was to give an extraordinary telepathic message, and only through Nurse McElroy, which was transcribed by a government stenographer. This gave many details the workings of what Elle described as the evil old empire, which had been working within our area of the universe, fortunately much of which has since then been disbanded and removed, although remnants still do operate on Earth, as the Dark Cabal. The outside-derived dark forces of darkness have also been vividly described in the Creator God Horus, Peyu, Messages in Chapter 10 of the New Earth, Book 1. Following the E. T's death 6 weeks later, brought on by electric shock treatment by U.S. government operatives to force revelations out of her, Nurse McElroy was debriefed and sent into forced retirement by the U.S. Air Force, but managed in the confusion to retain her own copy of the transcripts of the interviews. These were duplicates of the top-secret transcripts also kept by the U.S. government, the existence of which they have never revealed to the public. 60 years later on, Mrs. McElroy sent her copy of the transcripts to Lawrence R. Spencer, the author of The Oz Factors, which she had read after he had contacted her by phone in 1998, not long before her death at the age of 83. Mr. Spencer has bravely published this as the book Alien Interview. This can be read from the free link at the end of Book 2. On the night and early hours of February the 20th to the 21st, 1954. While on a vacation in Palm Springs, California, President Dwight Eisenhower went missing and was taken to Edwards Air Force Base, previously Muroc Airfield, for a secret meeting. This was to be a first contact meeting with extraterrestrials by the U.S. government and was the beginning of a series of later meetings with other extraterrestrial races. The extraterrestrials of this visit were described as being of a Nordic appearance, and they came to make a request for President Eisenhower to stop pursuing the nuclear arms race and not to continue to develop the highly dangerous hydrogen bomb. However, Eisenhower's administration responded that they could not do this so long as the Soviet Union also continued its own nuclear build-up. During the extraterrestrial negotiations, various other government personnel took the unique opportunity to investigate the varied collection of spacecraft which had landed on the airfield. Later on, in 1954, there was to be another meeting between the Eisenhower administration and some quite different extraterrestrials. These were a renegade race of Zetaretic aliens, better known as the Greys, because of their gray-colored skin. They have hairless bodies and a large head with big round dark eyes, the result of having to live many thousands of years underground on their planet after contaminating the surface with a nuclear war with their more advanced Zetareticuli compatriots. The Greys were no longer able to reproduce themselves through normal physical means and had to rely on cloning their bodies to continue life, and therefore they were gradually dying out. They were also of a generally non-loving and self-serving nature. They were hoping to engineer a transference of human Earthling DNA genetics to enable them to once again physically reproduce themselves. It was in the latter part of 1954 that they landed at Hammond Air Force Base and requested the making of a treaty with the U.S. government in exchange for some of their more advanced technology. They identified themselves as originating from a planet around a red star in the constellation of Orion, which we called Betelgeuse. They stated that their planet was dying and that at some unknown future time they would no longer be able to survive there. A treaty was eventually signed between them and the US government for them to re-engineer their failing DNA with that of Earth humans in exchange for their spacecraft technology and weapons. The treaty that was agreed on stated that the aliens would not interfere in our affairs and we would not interfere in theirs. We agreed in return to keep their presence on Earth a secret and provide them with large underground base facilities under the Four Corners area of Utah, New Mexico, Arizona and Colorado. They would not make any treaty with any other Earth nation. They would be allowed to make abductions of humans on a limited and periodic basis for the purpose of medical examination and monitoring of our development, with the agreed requirement that the humans would not be harmed, and be returned to their point of abduction with no memory of the event. They were also required to furnish the government with a list of all human contacts and abductees on a regularly scheduled basis. However, after over a period of 40 years, they had proved to have failed to either supply very meaningful new technology or to keep their word on the amount and degree of abductions. This applied particularly to women and children taken up to their mothership for experimental surgery, as well as to their frequent mutilation of cattle in a continued effort to extract genetic codes. As a result, the US government had gradually closed down most of their extensive main underground bases by the late 1990s, leaving them to carry on with only much more limited facilities for a short period. There have indeed also been many other US government meetings with extraterrestrials. In fact, J.F. Kennedy was about to give a major speech on the day he was assassinated, by an agent of Earth's secret government, in which he would have revealed the existence of extraterrestrials. Click on this following link to his intended speech, J.F. Kennedy's speech he was to give on the day he was assassinated. As we know, this speech was unfortunately never given. In fact, the Galactic Federation had planned to make a first major appearance with their spacecraft within a short period following Kennedy's speech, and this plan had to be abandoned. It would no doubt have ushered in a major change of direction in Earth's future development. Apart from these secret contacts with the U.S. government, there have also been many thousands of unofficial reported flying saucer or UFO sightings, as well as quite a few direct contacts made to individuals. Although they became well known to limited circles of Earth's lightworkers, they have always been totally ignored by the mainstream media through behind-the-scenes government control. One of the first major contactees was George Adamski, who wrote several books in the mid-1950s detailing his physical contacts with Venusian, Saturnian and Martian space visitors and of his journeys up in their scout ships to their large motherships overhead. In his second book Inside the Spaceships, he describes in fascinating detail the interiors of these motherships and his many conversations with their commanders and other onboard personnel. A few years later, Dina Craspedn, a Brazilian, also published her book describing his unexpected meeting with the captain of a 300-foot flying saucer scout, who gave him much useful scientific information about space travel and their methods of propulsion. Among other things, the captain explained how they can move at enormous speeds through our atmosphere by creating a vacuum around the scouts by ionizing the air surrounding the craft to prevent atmospheric friction. He was also one of the first to give us information on the approaching Earth changes. For extended excerpts from My Contact with Flying Saucers by Dino Craspedn and the George Adamski books, see the link at the end of this book too. In the last 16 years, there have been a growing number of Channel DT messages published in various books and specialist magazines, particularly those coming from the Galactic Federation, see the updates in Chapter 10, and also more recently from the Andromeda Council, see link at the end of Book 2. Another extraterrestrial phenomenon that has become well known during the last 20 years have been the thousands of perfectly formed crop circles which mysteriously appear overnight in fields of cereal crops, especially so in Britain, giving us many beautiful and highly complex patterns. Photographs of them have been well documented in various books and on the internet. Likewise, there are also the many photographs on the internet and books of flying saucers or scout ships. These are ones that the space visitors have permitted us to see through, lowering their higher vibration rates down to our 3D level. There are thousands of huge motherships stationed invisibly overhead, many of them over hundreds of miles in diameter, and as they mostly operate on the fourth and fifth dimensional vibrational levels, which is invisible to our 3D physical sight. Although our space visitors have up to now been limited to few Earth contacts, they promise that they will soon be making their first major appearance as part of a first contact mission, once Earth's major governments have made their long-awaited disclosure announcement of the existence of extraterrestrials. This first contact event will probably be made through providing a mass sighting of their spacecraft over several of Earth's major cities. They would then follow this up with a series of actual Earth landings in order to give us detailed information about themselves and to provide us with various useful technologies, such as the use of free energy. However, they have in the meantime made contact with over 160 Earth governments, requesting them to make a full disclosure announcement before they will make an appearance. Of course, the various governments have dragged their heels, as they not only fear the loss of their power to rule over their citizens, but even more so from the dire effects of any revelations of their past massive cover-up of ET and UFO contacts. However, at least a few governments, under considerable public pressure, are beginning to open up some of their secret UFO files to the general public. The French government has recently promised to now open some of its secret UFO files to researchers, as well as the British government, who announced in March 2008 they will start making its UFO documents available through the Ministry of Defense, and which would feature hundreds of documented UFO sightings gathered over the last 10 years across the UK. On the 12th of February 2008, the United Nations convened a secret gathering at the United Nations headquarters in New York with delegates of 28 major countries to discuss the increasing and unprecedented numbers of UFO sightings during 2007 and 2008. Security around the meeting was intense. Everyone was searched at the entrance. Pens, pins, keychain items were collected, and even members' UN security cards were temporarily taken in custody. This meeting was attended by over 40 representatives of 28 member countries. A document from the Galactic Federation was circulated in the meeting, in which a request was made that all the countries represented should make a full disclosure of ET existence. The Galactic Federation were offering to provide in return such useful technologies as new forms of free energy. A debate then followed on how the UN might respond to this offer, if at all. We presume the answer was indeed negative. A similar document was later sent by the Galactic Federation directly to the relevant ministries of all the attending 28 member states. Ever since World War II, the Galactic Federation of Light has been trying to give a warning to our major governments, as well as to Earth's scientific community, on the extreme dangers of developing nuclear weapons. They also expressed an especial concern about our developing the hydrogen bomb, and they informed us that hydrogen is a basic living element permeating all our surrounding ether. A large-scale use of hydrogen bombs could set off a massive chain reaction conflagration throughout the ethers of space, in addition to destroying our planet. In fact, the Galactic Federation has been forced to intervene countless times to disrupt our setting off nuclear devices in particularly dangerous situations. This they can do by simply neutralizing them at their point of use. Another important part of their mission was to alert us of the impending Earth changes as part of the ending of a major universal age. They have told us that the present ending of the 200 million year long grand universal age is a time when all our universes, galaxies and solar systems must collectively move up a step to higher dimensional planes. This also coincides with our own solar ring and Milky Way galaxy having just completed a long orbit around the great central sun of the universe, and is also the zodiacal ending of Earth's 2,000-year-long Piscine Age. The Piscine Age commenced around the time of the birth of Christ, and ends on the 21st of December 2012, as foretold in the ancient Mayan calendar. That will be the start of the new Aquarian Age, long been prophesied as bringing in a golden age of peace on Earth. There have been many other prophecies concerning these coming end times, such as in the Bible's Book of Revelations. These are referred to in the Christian Bible as the final day of judgment and also the promised second coming of Christ. The same message has also been given in more recent times by the growing number of New Age esoteric schools of higher spiritual knowledge. Humanity on planet Earth, along with the other inhabited worlds of our solar system, is thus about to make an ascension up to a higher dimensional vibrational plane. We on Earth are already moving up from our past dense physical third dimension vibrational level to rising degrees towards the fourth dimension. We and all living things have gradually been upgraded, through an inflow of powerful higher celestial energies, to now over 3.52D and will soon be moving seamlessly further up into the fourth dimension. After a period as a fourth dimensional planet Earth following Earth humanity's ascension after the 21st of December 2012, we shall then be moving further on up to the existent fifth dimensional Earth. Those of Earth's inhabitants at that ascension time that are ready to ascend up to the fifth dimension will themselves move up to the fifth dimensional Earth, along with all those already on our after-death fourth dimensional Summerland's spiritual plane. Most of the advanced light workers working and teaching down on Earth have themselves come down here as starseeds from other planets and star systems. Having already experienced living on higher dimensions and more advanced worlds, such an ascension will not be such a big deal for them. On the other hand, many of the younger souls starting out on their long evolutionary ascension on this seed planet for new human souls, may not yet be ready to make a move up to the fourth dimensional level, and will be relocated by the Galactic Federation to other worlds capable of supporting a third dimension vibrational level. However, planet Earth badly needs to go through a vibrational reformulation as well as a major surface cleansing of the worst of the environmental detritus and destructive effects made by its present inhabitants, as this will have a negative effect on the higher dimensional layers, which are all based on the fundamental 3D core. This will be undertaken by the Galactic Federation's forces whose technology can do this within at least a couple of years or more. During this planetary cleansing period, certain 3D surface areas may need to go through some fairly major upheavals. However, most of us already beyond that basic 3D level will not feel experience the disruptions as they will have been placed suspended animation, also known as a state of stasis. However, those who are in areas of severe disruptions will lifted off by the Galactic Federation's scout craft and taken up for a temporary period to the overhead motherships. Others in areas of danger may alternatively choose to be taken down into the interior hollow inner Earth, the home of an existing fifth-dimensional civilization named Agupta, which will barely be affected by the 3D surface cleansing. This ancient civilization, which has up to now not revealed itself to us surface dwellers, lives an advanced and almost perfect life within the hollow interior and the underside of Earth's 800-mile-thick outer planetary crust. Here there exist a pristine environment of verdant landscapes, rivers, lakes, crystal cities, all of which are illuminated by its own interior sun, which shines as the high-density crystalline core at the very center of planet Earth. More information on the Inner Earth is available at the link to the Inner Earth and Realm of Agupta at the end of this book too. Those not at this time ready to make their ascension up to the fourth and fifth dimensions, will therefore be relocated to an existing third dimensional level. There they may have to start on a new round of third dimensional physical evolution lasting anything upwards to 26,000 years until a new galactic age commences. Those still firmly rooted to the lower third dimension vibration with their barely controlled extremes of emotion and concentration on their own self-interest at the expense of others, would in any case find themselves unable to stand up to the higher vibrations of the fourth dimension. There they would experience intolerable discomfort and be unable to learn vital evolutionary lessons such as learning to overcome their many uncontrolled emotions and lower level desires. Those yet wishing to move up to the higher dimensions need to concentrate on changing their motivations of pure self-interest expressed at the expense of others. They need to move away from their physical survival mode of subjective concentration on their self-interest, with its natural tendency towards a competitive individualism and the domination of others. they have to learn to embrace a new attitude of a less selfish service to others without always having a subjective motive of purely personal gain. They eventually will have to learn to give unconditional love to others combined with a spirit of cooperation, mutual tolerance and an allowance for the faults of others. We may possibly be acquiring a second sun within our solar system. According to Christ Michael, this would be through an ignition of the planet Jupiter into a brighter nova of light. This new energetic source of light energy would cause a magnetic pole reversal on Earth, during which time Earth will come to a brief stop and reverse its direction of rotation. The sun will then be rising in the west. This process would cause some fairly major 3D surface changes as well as a possible 5-degree alteration of the Earth's polar axis, setting in motion some major earthquakes, extremely heavy winds, tidal waves, and floods. That these Earth changes have previously happened on planet Earth in the past has been well documented in geological studies, with entire continental landmasses either being submerged beneath the oceans, or raised up to become some of today's highest mountain ranges. Seashells and skeletons of fish have been found high up in the Himalayas and the Andes. The Great Plains of the USA from Mexico to Alaska are known to have been under the sea, and today's eastern coast of America was the shoreline of what are now the Appalachian Mountains. The North and South Poles have also been shown to have moved rapidly to new positions with the evidence of dramatic surface and climatic changes left behind. An aspect of this was first discovered in 1799, when frozen bodies of mammoths were unearthed in the tundra of Siberia. Their stomachs containing freshly eaten grasses and leaves normally belonging to tropical regions thousands of miles to the south. Former tropical coral reefs have also been discovered as far north as Spitzbergen, within what is now the polar circle. Coal deposits found in Antarctica indicate that the area was once covered by equatorial forests. We need to also become aware that Mother Earth, Gaia, is herself a highly evolved spirit ensouling the planet. She now awaits impatiently for the long-desired ascension of her 3D surface dwellers up to the fourth and fifth dimensions. She has up to now had to maintain a long and painful duty of supporting a lowly evolved combative and turbulent humanity as part of her celestial service contract. However, she also needs to cleanse her 3D planetary core of all the past pollution, damage and detritus that humanity has accumulated on her surface. The many areas of interior blasting within her crust and humanity's increasing extraction of oil has also caused her much 3D physical distress. Oil is in fact the very lifeblood of her planetary body, part of the system that helps to lubricate the tectonic plates and thus help keep them properly locked together. An insufficient quantity of this substance at the intersection of two major continental plates resulted in the massive underwater Sumatra earthquake and tsunami of December 2004. Humanity has to now undertake a process of erasing all past negative karma before we can ascend to the fourth or fifth dimensions. We at this end of age time need to balance out all our past karmic debts with those that we have previously harmed and at the same time give forgiveness to those that we consider may have wronged us in the past. Many of those long repressed emotional hurts and historical grievances which have accumulated over thousands of incarnations held as deep scars within our DNA and our soul's memory, now need to be brought to the surface, resolved and finally transmuted. At this time we can indeed see much of this resolving of past karma going on as a worldwide activity within the many settlings of past historical grievances. This is particularly visible in the present-day conflicts within the Middle East, where we see the resurfacing of the old Christian-Muslim conflict which was first generated, and never properly resolved, during the time of the Crusades. In conjunction with the ending of the present major universal age, there is at this time being enacted by the celestial hierarchy a major removal within our galaxy of all the forces of darkness. Most of this darkness came in from a particularly evil outside infestation of darkness originating in a totally corrupted grand universe creation out in the Great Void. It infected the outer regions of our surrounding seventh super universe of Orvanton millions of years ago and spread to our own galaxy, local universe of Nibiru. Now, At last we are coming to an end of over 500 million years of this pervasive darkness which had so subtly infiltrated the outer areas of the realms of light. It has left behind a scene of much destruction and damage, which is only now being thoroughly cleansed within our galaxy by the galactic forces of light. More information on this at the end of Book I, in Chapter 10.